You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along once again to another edition of an Irish Racing Podcast. I'm Andy Holding, going to be looking at a 7-race programme today at Cork, which begins at 5:30 on this Tuesday, March the 8th. And then we've got the Platinum Stakes as the main headline act at 7 o'clock. Of course, Brendan Bracken is due to take part in that race, a horse who's won this race before and finished second in the race last year behind Rose de Pierre. So it'll be interesting to see how those two old rivals get on in that listed contest. Some decent handicaps and maidens alike up and down the rest of the card, so hopefully we can get our heads in front yet again here this evening. We begin with the 5:30, which is a two-year-old contest over a mile, and all eyes here will no doubt be on Magical, who made a really encouraging introduction to her career when finishing second on her debut at the Curra on the 16th of July behind a nice horse, Jim Balders, called Dawn Delivers. And given that she wasn't overly fancied that day, she drifted from 5-2 to 5-1. Big things weren't expected, so therefore it was a much more accomplished effort by this filly by Galileo than expected. And given that she's up at 2 furlongs in trip to a mile, and that the third horse has won subsequently Borough Steps, everything looks set fair for Aidan O'Brien's charge to do what most of her fillies have been doing this season, getting beat first time out and winning next time out. The market seems to have got her about right. Market got the correct price for Active Approach, given that she ran well on debut as well behind one of Aidan O'Brien's at Leopardstown in the shape of Easter Lily. She certainly looks as though she's got plenty of size and scope for the future, and she should be tackling middle distances this time next year. She looks the only logical threat on paper, but hopefully Magical will get favourite backers off to a flyer there in the opening contest.
Race 2.
On to the first of the handicaps then this evening here at Cork. And there's a couple of horses here that I do quite like, but also, unfortunately, the market quite likes them as well. St. Brillade's Bay would be my number one choice, having finished second last time out in a very hot race at the Curra, won by the improving John Murphy-trained individual Silver Cold. Now, the feature of that race was the very strong speed figure, but also the very respectable final 3 furlong split that the leading protagonist achieved on that particular occasion. The winner, indeed, Silver Code, came home in a equi time to the 5 furlong sprint won by Ice Cold and Alex. So we're clearly dealing with a decent race there. And given that St. Brillade's Bay certainly pushed the winner all the way to the line, that is definitely one of the best pieces of form coming into this race. The yard continues to go well, the Jessica Harrington stable. And largely speaking, this horse is a very consistent horse on the speed figures, so I certainly expect him to go well. The other one to mention as well in a favourable light is Tennessee Waltz from the David Meyer Nain stable. Now, this horse never got into the race last time out at Killarney. That is often the case at that speed-based track where track position is key. And he found himself towards the back of the field and unable to get into the race. However, he did finish his offer race quite eye-catchingly in the latter stages, to suggest on a more level playing field track, he'd certainly be more fully effective, as he should be here. He ran well the time before in a race which is working out incredibly well at Tipperary, which comes out well on the figures. The likes of Tom Dooley and Alan's Pride, of course, have gone on to win subsequently and boost that form line. So if he can get back on track to that corner level, certainly expect Tennessee Waltz to provide each way backers with a nice alternative to the favourite there in race 2.
Race number 3.
On to the 6:30 then, which looks a very competitive fillies contest. Sorrel Del Rose was quite impressive on her debut this season when she won with a bit to spare at Nice over 6 furlongs. However, she comes from a yard, I don't care what you say, still under a little bit of a cloud, indicative of the fact that they only had one winner at the Galway Festival throughout the 7 days. So you'd be a brave man if you're backing the Dermot Well-trained runner at the current moment in time. Surroundings definitely going in the right direction, courtesy of her two victories at Limerick and Curra respectively. But the one I quite like here is Little Clarinet from the David Marnane stable. A real nice, tall filly by Requento, who's got plenty of scope. She managed to get her head in front and beat a couple of rivals in this contest two starts ago at Leopardstown in the shape of Hoena and Little Bit Me. The form of which, of course, has been boosted by the runner-up Mickey Harford's Hoena and other horses in behind that on that particular evening. She never really got into the race of the day at Nace, but it was a hot contest won by Music Box, who, of course, franked the form with a listed win the other day at the Galway Festival. Miss Power has won since. So she was arguably up facing her stiffest task to date in that contest. I do think a step up to trip in the triple definitely suits her as well. Even though she's won over six, she certainly gives the impression that seven or even a mile will be absolutely ideal for her, given her run style. And odds are around about 6-1 this morning. I'd make Little Clarinet a fairly solid choice each way there in race number three.
Race four.
Right, on to the big race of the night then, which comes up in the shape of the Platinum Stakes. And hopefully Brendan Bracken can get back on track here, following slightly below par effort last time out, in my opinion, at Leopardstown in the Group 3 contest, eventually won by Moonlight Magic. But it was a decent contest. I mean, the likes of Duvel and Tennessee Wildcat were in that race. It was certainly no disgrace. But he just never got into it at all. I couldn't understand, given the small field, and it was a massive front runner's paradise that night. I think three or four horses made all. Why Colin King didn't make the running on this 8-year-old, because prior to that, he was hugely impressive when he won under those tactics at the same venue, when he never looked like getting caught. He's made all the running here before. In fact, he's won all his best races here at Cork. He's yet to finish out the first two in five starts. He was a runner-up in the race last year behind Rose de Pierre. And, of course, he won this race 2 years prior to that. So he's obviously got course and distance form running through his blood. As I mentioned, Rose de Pierre would be the logical threat, having run well behind Rihanna last time we saw her. But given that the World Stable, for me, are still under a cloud courtesy of the virus, it makes life difficult trying to fashion a case, or a strong case anyway, for Rose de Pierre to uphold the form with my selection, Brendan Bracken.
Race 5.
Right, on to the race number 5 then. And the best race on the card is the Give Thanks Stakes, a Group 3 contest for the fillies. And the one that sets the standard here on all known form is Azira, who, of course, finished third, and a respectable third at that, behind Enable, who's gone on to frank the form in the King George. She kept on quite well from the back of the field that day, certainly to suggest that she could have a very bright future towards the autumn of this particular flat season. But she is a short price, and she's a Dermot World runner. So without keeper wanting to keep the record broken, I'm going to look for a nice each-way alternative in the shape of William McCreary's Bloomfield, who was hugely impressive visually and on the numbers first time out in a good maiden at the Curra. It was no great surprise, therefore, to see Connections dip their toe into Patton Company on only her second start, when she finished second, and a respectable second to Key to My Heart, in a similar contest to this at Nace, doing all her best work at the end. Hopefully she would have learned plenty from that performance, and a step up in trip should certainly suit this filly by Tier Filly O'Gillett, given that she's a powerful galloper and should see it out no problem. So each way, round about 5-1 this morning, Bloomfield is the call there in race number 5.
Race number 6.
On to the penultimate contest then. Once again, another very competitive looking handicap, this time over at a mile and a half. William Mullins has got the favourite here in the shape of Shudder Lied, who ran perfectly respectably last time out in a fair handicap. But I've been sort of waiting for Nimitz to step up in trip for quite a while, ever since this horse caught my eye in no uncertain terms at Leopardstown, when finishing third at behind Auckland and Allography back in the middle of June. They didn't do that at Garran. It ended up being a bit of a tactical mess, and this horse only stayed on belatedly late on. Once again, this horse travelled really sweetly before just getting outrun by a couple of speedier horses returning to the Dublin venue the other day. And as I said, he certainly shapes as though an extra little bit of yardage wouldn't go amiss with this horse. He's just a galloper. And hopefully tonight we'll definitely play in two strengths over this mile and a half trip. So Nimitz, around about 8-1, is the choice there in the penultimate.
and the final race.
On to the final contest then, and probably the hardest race of the night to get your head round. Ran about 92.5-1 the field this morning. However, I do think Rubenesque looks overpriced here, around about the 12-14-1 mark, courtesy of a couple of runs which suggest that her turn's going to be not too far off, because she's finished second on her last two runs at Dundalk behind Colapier, and most notably last time out at the Canali Festival the other day behind Looker, who went on to run really well the other day behind Andrax in a competitive handicap at the Galway Festival. We've also seen Set to Fire, who finished fifth in that race, go on to frank the form. And the time figure that race suggests it was a decent one of its kind. Therefore, at odds around about 12-1 this morning, I do think Rubenesque is grossly overpriced, probably largely due to down to a tricky draw, if anything else. Stall 18, of course, is not ideal. Ben Runson comes in good nick. He's won his last two starts and ran really well over hurdles the last day. And if you fancy that the form line of that Killarney race, well then Cavalis, he should also go well at double figure odds. But Rubenesque, I do think he's overpriced in that particular contest. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. I'm signing off now until we take a look at Sligo's National Home Card tomorrow evening on Wednesday. So until then, it's a very goodbye for me.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.